On this Mother's Day weekend, we'd like to extend our love and appreciation to all of you dear mothers, and welcome to The Road to Reality. KP Yohannan has a very special message to share with us today about a mother's influence. He'll speak from scripture and experience and tell us how his own mother was greatly used of God to influence his life. But there are some young children today who are living without a good and godly motherly influence, in some cases totally abandoned. As we begin, KP shares how GFA's Bridge of Hope program is serving to help these children in a powerful way.
I want to take a few minutes and share with you a couple of stories and things. In some ways, it is an important time of the year, Mother's Day, what we do without our mothers. And you heard plenty of teachings on that. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 18, verse 15. People were also bringing babies to Jesus to have him touch them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." When you read the scripture about people bringing babies, it's easy to understand it was not men. They usually run away when they had to change diapers. It is the mothers who carry the little babies around. And fathers are interested when the kids become teenagers or a little older. But here you find this reference in several Gospels, how significant it is when we realize the influence of a mother, or a mother's influence, what it's supposed to be. The Bible has dozens and dozens of stories of that, and you also can testify to this. But somehow, we seems to forget, because it's so far away from us, of mothers that don't have the understanding or the information or the privilege to be a positive influence for their children. They are left behind. It was early morning, I get this telephone call from our missions leader in Calcutta, and he said, I'm sending this information, please look at this. The story appeared in the daily newspaper called Telegraph. The story about a small community of Dalits or untouchables about 200 kilometers away from our base. 50 mothers bringing their children to the market to sell them. And the story appeared in the newspaper when the newspaper reporter asked one of these ladies, all of them in the public bazaar market, they are bringing their little kids to sell them. So asked, why are you doing it? Looking at this mother with a 8 or 9 year old girl and another little girl that are her children. So she responded, the reporter quotes, "I don't care, whatever I can get." And then she continues with tears, "You don't understand. We are starving and we are dying. And I want someone to take my children and give them clothes and food. Some of us are dying here, but at least our children will live." So I said, "Are you sure this is something or some cooked up story?" He said, "It has to be true." Then I said, "Why don't you take a train and whatever means, get to the place immediately, and could you please verify this?" So he goes. Sure enough, he finds this community, people in abject poverty, living in huts, in shacks, and skin and bones, and kids everywhere. There's no school, no facilities, just people cut off from the reality of life that we know of. And I said, we need to do something about it very fast. And by the grace of God, within 2 weeks' time, they set up one of the, what we call, Bridge of Hope centers, taking nearly 200 children into that system to clothe them and feed them and take care of them. Then missionaries will go to help people with the literacy program and teaching them things. And now the mothers, praise the Lord. And now the mothers that did not know how to read and write, 95% of the community, women especially, didn't know how to read and write. But now they've been taught to read and write. What do they read? The Bible. And the children are taught, and they are growing up. And I envision someday when we meet the Lord face to face, multiplied millions that no man can number from all these nations and tribes and communities and language group. And I tell you what, you as a mother, you as a wife and grandmother, just think about running into these people there and say, you know, we heard about in Albuquerque when so-and-so was talking about it, but thank God you too. We are given the privilege to know this Jesus that I came to know. As I train my children, take them to Sunday school and teach them, you did it too. What a glorious day. But here's the thing. Today in time, you and I have the privilege to link our lives with these mothers, these children, these people from around the world, especially in nations like India and these nations we are talking about.
You're listening to The Road to Reality with K.P. Yohannan, who'll be back in just a moment. Many families in Asia struggle to make ends meet. And today, we'd like to share an exciting opportunity that we have to help those in need. That is, to provide a sewing machine and vocational training. This will give them a chance to start their own tailoring businesses and provide for their family. And if you'd like to help provide a practical gift like this to those who need it most, visit roadtoreality.org. That's roadtoreality.org. Or call 866-946-2742. Again, 866-946-2742. For our friends in Canada, you can go online to roadtoreality.ca or call 888-946-2742. Well, let's return to KP now for the rest of his message.
My entire life was all about just don't worry about kids and all that. Just somehow preach the gospel, get people saved, and go on with life. But in all our journey, the Lord uses incidents to speak to us. This was one of those times I was in Bombay, India, trying to catch my flight to Frankfurt, West Germany, when I picked up this newspaper and looking at it, on the front page was this big black and white picture, photograph of a little boy, kind of semi-naked, maybe 4 or 5 year old little kid, laying on the busy sidewalk on the street. But beside him lays a dog, a female dog. And the caption reads, "This dog is his mother." And the reason they write the caption, because you can actually see the little boy drinking milk from this stray dog. And I never forget, just being glued to that photograph, somehow saying to myself, what if this happened to be my little boy, Danny? And I couldn't process that information. Then I asked the question, what happened to his mother? What happened to his father? Where are they? That's when I realized once again that report explained over 100,000 children living on the streets not knowing who their parents are, what their future will be. These are things I couldn't possibly process or think deep. I was weeping and brokenhearted. And this was one of those incidents. Somehow the Lord broke through and spoke to my heart and said, but this is what I have arranged for you to see, feel, and weep. But please don't let that end like that. He said, you have to do something about it because you are now in my place in your generation. And that was the beginning of this incredible journey that we made, recognizing the need to embrace these mothers and fathers and children and communities and give them also what we call a new beginning. I do not know how to communicate this effectively, but I will try my best. My now some 40 years of journey into these nations and looking especially at the Dalit or the untouchables communities. I do not know how many of you know about that. Anyone here seen the movie Slumdog Millionaire? Yeah, all of you who raise your hand, you will go to heaven. The rest of you, I have to figure this out. But you see, if you saw that movie, you can see how this mean, evil pimp going around and collecting all the children from the streets and some of them blinding them and putting them out to beg money on the streets. And I remember that was one of those another times my heart was so broken with it. But then it's been just a few years or so, 6-7 years, we began to learn about the plight of the women. And we realized that 285 million untouchables living in poverty and abuse and raped, and the plight is so huge. And then we realized we need to do something to embrace these women and help them. You know, just realize in Calcutta, in the red light district, where thousands of women are selling their bodies to make money. And then we found out little kids are growing up in the same community. And they, these 8, 9, 10-year-old girls, will end up in the same condition. Then that's when we began to go after counseling these mothers and talking to them and rescuing them, showing the way of the Lord. And then we took 100 children in one place out of this condition and put them in school. Now, can you imagine, a day is going to come, some of those children are not going to be living in slums, but they'll be living for the Lord. I don't usually cry that easily. I'm not an emotional person. But how many times I cried alone on the streets, in the slums in Bombay and Dhaka and other places. And my heart was more broken by seeing the struggle of these women. And mothers, you know, celebration of Mother's Day is one of the most wonderful things in the whole world. As a matter of fact, I'm not going to be home tomorrow, so I called my son. I said, make sure you buy flowers. And I said, buy something really good. And I'm sure all of you are doing something good. And if you didn't do it, you still have the chance. But then, I wanted to listen to this poem written by a little boy. We have some 63,000 children we rescued from the slums, from the untouchables, from absolute hopelessness. Now they are in over 500 of our Bridge of Hope centers, and it's amazing what transformation took place and how their parents and their mothers, you just have to go to see it. But listen to this. This little boy who was rescued writes about his mother. Dark, skinny body, this was my mother. Eyes sunken with pain, turns and look at us, and she disappears into the woods. That's a forest. It is late in the afternoon. We children had eaten nothing all day, waiting and watching for mother, after selling the sticks to come home with food. She collects firewood from the forest and sell it and then buy food and bring it to the kids. Our father left for a neighboring state looking for a coolie's job. For untouchables here like us, there's no job except cleaning latrines, that's toilets. Poverty and hunger took its toll. My mother died without help. My brothers and I did not know what to do, wandering on streets all day long. Our father came home a broken man, held us in his arms, crying bitterly. He sits and gazes into the dark, mutters to himself, I don't know what. The sun rose with bright hope. Some kind people took us to school. At first, I didn't know much at all. Now I know we have hope. Often, my eyes seek my mother. I still cry and grieve when I see a dark, skinny vendor of wood. I wish I had money to buy her sticks. And how many places I ran into people like this, and I say to myself, Lord, thank you for the grace you gave us to have a small part in helping these children. You know, my two children, they both grew up and went to school in the United States and then left to serve the Lord on the mission field. They both are married, 4 grandchildren. They are unbelievably cute. I think about how Gisela, that's my wife, from day one they were born, we were praying for them and how they were taught. How blessed we are, my brothers and sisters. Think about the privilege the Lord gave us. But then my prayer is this: we will become answer to bringing these children for the sake of lost and helpless mothers to the feet of Jesus and give them hope. I'd like to talk to you all night long, which is not practical. But here's a Bible verse that should help along with this discussion we have. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 15. The compassion of God being compared to mother. Can a mother forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yes, they may forget, yet I will not forget you. I mean, God could not find any illustration to compare his deep feeling toward us, and he takes a mother. He says, even if that happened, I will not. And so, you know, when I think about my journey of growing up, I realize how much my mother's influence had on my personal life. And tonight, I just want to encourage you and ask you, as we celebrate the Mother's Day and think about the privileges we have, would you please think about praying and become a mother, a father, a brother, a sister for some 62 million children that are child laborers without any hope? August 27th, 1990. 6:15 early morning, possibly the saddest day of my life. My mother, she was 84, hardly ever been sick in her life, hardly 4 feet, 3 inches tall, a small frame, fragile woman that never left my village. And that was the time she just passed away. I left my home when I was 17, 2,000 miles to North India to serve my Lord and learn discipleship. After 2 years of my life in North, when I came back home to see my parents, and that's when she said, I want to tell you a story that you do not know. She was cooking in the kitchen and sat beside her, and she said, you remember the day when you finished your high school, you came and said, if we allow you, you want to go and serve God? I said, Mother, yeah, I do. But I also remember you jumped up and said, go! I thought you hated me. I was an accident. She said, no, you don't understand. My six boys, you are the youngest, as you know. And I prayed all my life that Jesus would call one of my sons to serve him. And one by one, all your brothers went into farming and business and things like that. When you were born and growing up, timid, shy, withdrawn, I lost all my hope. That's when I decided to pray every Friday fasting. For 3.5 years, she fasted every Friday, complete fast. One prayer request, Lord, call one of my children to serve you. I want to see it before I die. And when you mentioned that, son, I knew the Lord answered my prayer. I was on the way to Seoul, Korea to speak at a conference. When in Bombay, trying to change my flight, I heard about my mother's illness. I canceled my trip, went down south. That weekend, she passed away. As growing up as a little boy in my village, I heard my mother say this 1,000 times. Whom have I in heaven but you, and on earth I desire no one and nothing beside you. And I remember as a 3-4-year-old kid, when she said that, she did this. And I didn't know what she was talking about until I grew up and said, that is in the Bible. Psalm 73 verse 25. She would wake up like 3-4 in the morning and go to the next room and put the mat and sit on the floor and pray for 2-3 hours. Then she wake up the whole family for our family prayer. She didn't have any other books other than the Bible that I saw in her hand. And there was something about her eyes, her face, that you knew she was kind of living in a different world. And she was incredibly godly and gentle in her walk with the Lord. After the funeral, before I go back to the United States, when my brothers and I met, talk about our mother, our father passed away earlier, we all thought our mother left lots of money in the bank because we all gave her, you know, money and farm and resources, but we never saw her spending any money. But then the answer was very quickly given by one of my brothers, said, as far as I know, there's not a penny in the bank. And one of my other brothers said, what happened to all the money? He's kind of greedy one. And my other brother took this notebook, turning the pages, said, you know, all I can see is the scribbling of our mother's handwriting, page after page of missionaries, students in Bible schools, and stuff going on all over the country. And she was sending her money, and she didn't tell this to any human being.
KP's mother had the right priorities in life, didn't she? Keeping her eyes on Jesus all the way to the end, and influenced her children in a wonderful way. Well, on this Mother's Day, we hope this has encouraged all of you moms out there listening to do the same thing. You're listening to The Road to Reality and a message by KP Ohanian called A Mother's Influence. If you'd like to hear it again, visit our website at roadtoreality.org. And while you're there, take some time to read about an exciting way to help an Asian family in need. For the poor in Asia, sewing is not just a hobby. It's a way to earn a livelihood for their family. A motorized sewing machine allows them to work so much faster. And if you would like to give a motorized sewing machine that not only clothes the family, but will put food on their table as well, again, drop by roadtoreality.org. Or call us, 866-946-2742. That's 866-946-2742. And for our friends in Canada, the number is 888-946-2742. Or simply visit our website, roadtoreality.ca, on the web. Well, next week on The Road to Reality, KP Ohanian is talking about prayer. Join us then. And to all of you moms, we wish you a very happy Mother's Day.